SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two at the races. We talked the sprint performances of both Promises Fulfilled and Imperial Hint with Dale Romans and Louis Carvajal. Johnny D going to join us, and we'll get Johnny's survey of not just the sprint races, but everything that went on, including Fun in the Sun, combining Del Mar and Saratoga action on ExpressBet. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, how are you, my man?
We're good. We're good. With that weather that finally cleared out, and I think we got into a little bit of a nice beat over the weekend at Saratoga.
Yeah. I was looking at the weather for this week in this area, out in the Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. We've got, like, thunder showers. Like, it looks like what was in Saratoga the last week or so. You got to get that stuff cleaned up before I get up there now.
Well, I can only anticipate. I think every time you've ever come for Travers, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and when it hasn't been gorgeous, it's been beautiful in a different kind of way. For example, the Travers, the name is escaping me, but you'll fill in the blanks here. The horses were approaching the gate, and the storm was approaching the spa off in the distance.
The Birdstone, that's
Birdstone,
the Birdstone.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Mary Lou
Whitney Drenches.
Yeah, someone left the cake out in the rain.
Oh, man. I mean, just watching that storm approach, watching nature, some of the things you see, you could see it coming. You could feel it in the air. You could smell it. All those senses were alive just watching this and knowing that they wanted to get the race in before it was a race between the race and the storm. And the storm won, actually. And they even went off a little bit early to try. And, of course, it was a televised event. So they like to go off right at post time, exactly at post time. But here's a storm coming, so they moved it up. And then, well, the skies opened. And I believe they canceled the rest of the card. The lightning and thunder and sitting in that grandstand and watching it come in, watching the race, watching the winner's circle ceremony, and just nature putting on a show. It was unbelievable. And then leaving, I think we waited, Will and I waited for the rain to stop. And then we left, and there was so much rain. I don't know how much came down in that little brief time, but there were swimming pools in the streets, and people just drenched, and I think some of the folks that maybe had too many adult beverages were playing in the water like kids. I mean, it was such an unusual Travers trip. And so while you say, yes, we've been blessed, and I think most of the time the weather's been really nice. Even the occasions when it hasn't been nice, you leave with a story, and that's the Birdstone Travers story. Yeah, it was really something.
And you're right; they did. That was the last race of the day. They called off the nightcap
with good reason. there was lightning. There was thunder. There was torrential downpour. It was just one of those beautiful afternoon storms that just rolls in and wreaks havoc for like, I don't know, I guess it was maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, and then it was over. It moved on, and but, okay, back to this year. You know, Travers Day is kind of, you feel it building like a giant wave. You see some of these prep races, and you just spoke with Dale, and you guys touched on it briefly. You know, the Alan Jerkins and the Travers, the two races that are starting to build with some momentum here. All right, we lost Justify last week, but this Travers has become, it's going to be a really interesting race, a really interesting race. I can't wait that. I hope everybody, you know, gets there on time and they're training well. And, you know, you had Hopford kind of take his step forward, and you had Tenfold and Good Magic, certainly. And you've got all those waiting in the wings. It's going to be a great race, really.
It feels like it. Having the filly, that, you know, that really enhances.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a big part that'll add. So it's getting there. Let's touch on some of the weekend action from your perspective, Johnny. And, of course, it's unusual slightly to have a Sunday like we had yesterday. You know, Haskell Day very frequently on Sunday, but the way in which Saratoga came up and the way Del Mar's card came up, it ended up being just a equally as intense a race day Sunday as Saturday was.
Yeah, and I was really happy for that too, because I went to a wedding Saturday, so I didn't get to bury my head and enjoy the complete Saturday. Obviously, I went back and watched replays, but I didn't get to really saturate myself. Sunday, I was glad that Sunday cards were inviting you to bury your teeth in them, and very entertaining. You know, the Haskell, I think Good Magic, if you want to say, you know, what did he do? Well, he did what he was supposed to do. When the cat's away, the mice will play, and we lost the cat on Tuesday of last week, so now the mice get to play a little bit. And Good Magic is a pretty, he might not be a mouse, he might be a rat. I mean, he stepped forward, he did what he was supposed to do. And, you know, I think back to the Derby and I think about that mile and a quarter. I don't think that's his best distance. I think the mile and eighth is really where that's good for him. The mile and a quarter, you know, he ran it. He ran well in the Derby, certainly, and he's a really good horse. But that mile and a quarter might just open the door a little bit that somebody who's a little more, who appreciates a mile and a quarter, really is dying to go a mile and a quarter. At Saratoga, that could bring them together. So while, you know, I said, hey, Good Magic, he did what he needed to do, and nobody really behind him looked like they were really doing anything special. Bravado, again, just a solid, good, consistent performance. He's just a steady grinder. But if we can find someone in a mile, and I imagine Good Magic will be the favorite in the Travers, based off what he's done in resume, and deservedly so. But that mile and a quarter, he finished second, but he almost got caught in the Derby. So, you know, maybe there's room. Maybe there's room for us to look for a price horse in that race. And I think, you know, look, the post position draw, I'm expecting a large field. I'm expecting post position to matter a little bit in that race. And pace is going to matter. You know, it's going to be an interesting race, as I said earlier. And let's see if Good Magic can parlay it back. And let's see if Hofberg's, if he's ready to really take that major step. I mean, like, he blew those guys away this week, but it's good. The water is going to get deeper, and he's been in deep water before, and he's done well. But, you know, now it's going to be a lineup of big fish running against him. So let's see if we've all been waiting for him to make that step. Will the Travers be that step? So that's interesting. And of course, he raced this week, too. And then just to completely jump across the room, Imperial hit. Wow. I saw that race. I said, yikes. Yikes. What is this? You know, just, I mean, talk about being, I mean, not even handwritten to, and just dominating, just moving with ease and dominating, complete domination. That is a horse that is at his peak and it's just, you know, he can't get any better than that. That is just, that's perfection there. Then, you know, you have another runner this weekend, a filly, Unique Bella, out at Del Mar. She was being handwritten to the wire, but it was getting close. Now, I know Mike Smith had it judged and all that, but she did not look like she was re-breaking. She did not look like she was finding more. She was just kind of getting there. Now, I don't know. Maybe she's the kind that when you shut her down, and maybe Mike, I mean, he certainly had easy wins with her before. And his comments after the race were interesting. You know, he kind of said it wasn't her best day, but she still got the job done. And that's what the good ones do. They win even when they're not bringing their A game. But it leaves a little bit of a question mark surrounding her. Also, is Del Mar her favorite surface? Maybe not. You know, and again, good horses win. They take their, you know, they don't need to take their tracks with them. They win anywhere. But maybe Del Mar is not her favorite surface. Maybe she, you know, likes it better at Santa Anita. So anyway, all these thoughts. These are, you know, you watch races, you see stuff, and you kind of put ideas in your head for the future.
Well, exactly, because we're going to reconvene when it comes to bringing everybody together. And so monitoring and, you know, you do that on a regular basis anyway. In fact, there's been a couple of these sprint stakes yesterday down at the Wolf Hill down at Monmouth, and today we got this Coronation Cup. Looking at just turf sprinters and trying to, you know, gauge competition and merge, you know, regions, Mid-Atlantic. And how are you handling, Johnny, this came up last week, how are you handling these late season Gulfstream horses that stayed past Florida Derby? You know, usually that's the expiry date and everybody breaks camp. But in the new landscape of Gulfstream running year-round, virtually, there's horses that are staying. And in some cases, it's extended spring training a little bit. In other cases, it might be a numbers game with some outfits. But I find myself having to, you know, try to figure out what these horses mean when you see, you know, somebody that ran a Gulfstream in May and June. It's not something you're used to seeing.
Yeah, and it's a really difficult, it adds to the handicapping puzzle, because all the things you just mentioned are all true. They're all factors. Look, there's no question that they are not defeating the same, you know, level of competition as a horse running at the Belmont, or maybe somewhere, maybe, I don't know, Churchill maybe is on, but certainly not the same level as Belmont. So you have to factor that in. But as you say, it could be developing, coming. You know, what would be a trainer's thought for leaving a horse, you know, at Gulfstream, which years ago when we had Calder, one thing was true, and check me on this if this was not a if it was not a truism, we all kind of, handicappers kind of agreed on it, that those horses that came out of Florida, particularly out of Calder in the summer, and then we mostly ran into them at the Breeders' Cup. But horses who raced at Calder in the summer were always respected because they were hardy. They were hardy horses because they were running in incredible heat and humidity, and Calder was a deeper surface. And so, you know, once in a while you get a sprinter show up, or maybe a turf sprinter. Usually they were sprinters. But, you know, seldom you would be like a distance turf horse or a Breeders' Cup Classic horse, something like that. But usually they were sprinters. But you always had a little bit of respect for them because of what they had to go through in the summer. And I think that's partially true, too. It takes a hardier horse to kind of compete in that humidity and heat. And you get different types of surfaces because you have those storms that blow through in the afternoon in Florida. And, you know, you get all kinds of things thrown at you, you know, as a racehorse. And I think that's important to consider. But they are competing against lesser, you know, the fields are not as deep across the board. They are better. And just as a factor of, as you say, top trainers with big outfits are leading more and more horses back in Gulfstream to run. And so it's a great place to give a horse an education, to break a maiden without having to face, we used to call them the heavy heads, without having to face, you know, the top guns. Break a maiden in Florida and then bring them up to Saratoga and then see where they fit. And from there, you make your decision. So it's a management thing for handicappers, horse players. It's a nightmare. There's no other way to describe it, because now, as if Saratoga didn't attract enough talented horses from many places before, we've got one more place where you're getting top-notch outfits bringing horses up from Gulfstream who have run well there. And do they fit? Do they not fit? Yeah. I'll tell you, I can't remember. It was late in the card. I think it's a 5.5 turf race today. And I started to go through it, and I just threw my hands at Saratoga. It might have been the 7th or 8th. And I just threw my hands. I don't know. They're coming from all over. They're coming from Churchill and Gulfstream and Belmont. And, man, I mean, it is a challenge. And that's part of what makes it fun.
The Coronation Cup has got, you know, closer still from Woodbine. Factor of one from last race at Laurel, but had been on the West Coast. Brattata came from Belmont. You've got the Delaware shipper, Jonathan Thomas, ran Tesora down there. Classy Dancer, Jason Service, Laurel, Penn National, Gulfstream.
You know what else? You know, as you're going through these, something else that pops into my head and gives me a headache is you've got high percentage guys who are, you know, the Mid-Atlantic region, the Laurel, Delaware, Parks, whatever, high percentage trainers who you respect, who you respect their horses anytime they run a horse, and they're mixed in with Pletcher and Chad Brown and the guys you respect at Saratoga. So sure, all of a sudden, wow. Yeah, it's fun after the headache subsides. Then it's fun. kind of an interesting thing happened. I was watching the Haskell yesterday on the NBC broadcast, and Gail was in the other room, and they had gone out of the gate. They just before they got to the finish line, and I yelled, "Oh, look at that!" And she said, What happened?" I said, "Oh, I'll show you after the race." So they're running the race, and they finished the race, and I had recorded or DVR'd the race, and so I played it back. I said, "Look, right there," And it looks to me like Bravado loses a shoe. Right out of the gate, well, not right out of the gate, but it's just before they get to the finish line. I think on the NBC broadcast, I timed it from the gate. If anyone's interested, if you DVR'd it or you want to go back, even the replays online, you can see it. On the broadcast, it's 12 seconds after they open the gate. It's about the 12-second mark from when they break. On a replay, I think I looked at the Blood Horse replay. It's like 23 or 24 seconds into the actual whole entire replay. You'll see he loses his shoe, and it flies up in the air. I'm going to say maybe 20 feet in the air, 30 feet in the air, and you can see it against the background of the green turf course. You'll see the silver shoe flying in the air, and then it comes down. The field is clear, and it comes down and lands, you know, on the main track. I'm pretty sure it was Bravado. I'm pretty sure it was him. Anyway, I noticed it live, and, you know, after the race, Gail said, "You saw that watching the race?" I said, "Yeah, well, with high-definition television, it's amazing. I've seen it before, but not very often, you know, in my life." And I wanted to bring it up just because if you're interested in seeing something like that, it's kind of amazing to imagine the force that sends this shoe flying into the air. And then to think about, you know, other horses and jockeys who are, fortunately, no one was directly behind Bravado at that point, and it kind of went pretty much straight up in the air. But if you're right on top of another horse, what about when it comes down? I mean, you know, you've got this horseshoe with nails probably in it, and having that thing come down from 30 feet in the air, it was a small field, so everyone was clear. But, you know, these are some of the things that we rarely talk about that jockeys and horses have to deal with. I mean, we all think about the quads, the dirt quads, which can be, you know, if the track's not a certain, or I guess I should say if it is a certain composition where the dirt is balling up in their hooves and they kick back, I mean, it can hurt. It can be like being hit with a pitch. That kickback, in bad times, I remember, you know, going down to the jock's room and seeing bruises on the riders from getting hit with, you know, when the track, this is a long time ago, but when the quads were really, you know, balling up, and seeing broken goggles, the goggles that they wear just smashed from getting hit with these quads. So you can imagine when horses are running into those quads, how difficult it is. They're getting hit in the chest and face, and the quads are flying backwards, and even the further horses further back are getting hit with it. Now, if the track is properly maintained, you know, you've got spray. You know, it's like getting hit with a fistful of sand. Still, not fun. Not fun at all. When you're trying to run and you're trying, or you're riding a horse, trying to guide him, and you're getting hit with a fistful of sand. It's still not fun. Anyway, so if you want to see that shoe go flying, it's not something I've seen much. I mean, we had the horseshoe and the tail incident. Was that gun run, wasn't it? Yeah.
Asmussen's next, so, actually.
Yeah, so you wonder, how does that happen? Well, here's a sight. Here's the sight of it happening.
Well, fun in the sun. You mentioned fun. Recap from Saturday, Johnny, before we go.
Yeah, fun in the sun. This week we had a few higher price winners. We had some short price winners, but it was we had some bombers too. And the winner was Greg Knepper, $370.50. Last week Steve Dahlbeck was $286.50. So he gives the idea of how we had more prices this week. And that was a $4,000 prize. Joseph Heierzik, $312.50, $2,000 prize. And David Wong, third, $308.50, $1,000 prize. Steve Dalbec is on top with 381.50. Now, he got 286.50 of that in the first week. So he had kind of a quiet week. I know I heard you talk about Pete having a quiet week. The leader added about $100 to his total. David Kay is second with 373. So this is fun in the sun. Play it at expressbet.com. Account holders only. One entry per account holder. $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races each Saturday. We've got two competitions. We've got the weekly competition, $7,000 in prizes, and we've got the seasonal competition, which you've already missed the first 2 weeks. Does not mean you're out of it, believe me. Jump back in, have a couple of good weeks. You'll be right back on the board. Your number you're chasing right now is 381.50. And look at this week's winner, Greg Knepper. He got 370.50 in 1 week. So it can be done. You can jump right in the picture in 1 week. But I wouldn't wait too much longer. So fun of the sun at expressbet.com. Top four seasonal players earned seats in the Pegasus World Cup betting challenge, or championship, I'm sorry. And those are $12,000 each prizes. So go play fun in the sun. And if you're playing it, keep firing, because it one good week and you can jump right back in the mix.
Well, Tina had a good week last week. Not as good this week, so she's obviously playing the long con.
Yeah, but one good week, right? I mean, if she has one hot week, she's going to be right in the mix. I wouldn't wait any longer than next week though to get in, because we've given up almost half with the 7 week season.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was a good sequence of races.
The weekly prizes continue. The next $7,000 a weekly prizes, $4,000, $2,000, $1,000. That's very good money.
That's real money, as they say. Johnny, I appreciate it. Catch up next week.
Stevie, thank you.
Johnny D, XB Johnny D.
Back after a break with Steve Aspison. Speaking of wayward horseshoes and the famous the famous shoe in the tail. Steve off to a tremendous start at this meet. And the win by tenfold, that's a nice stamp on his resume, the three-year-old. And, of course, has got the placement from the Preakness as well. So, marching along. And we'll talk about it with Steve Aspison next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness, and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Looking to catch up with Steve Asmussen and got to talk with Steve about not just the big stake win. There was also a nice runner-up performance by Dream Call that came at Monmouth in the Molly Pitcher. She was closing on Burned the exact same way La Force was closing on Unique Bella in the Hirsch. So encouraging effort. I gotta say, I didn't bet Monmouth because I thought it was going to be pretty chalky. And Burned, though, I was surprised, was 5-1. And that's that kind of, I was surprised. I was sitting in the box at Saratoga, and I thought, well, there's a number worth playing around with. So if you bet Burned, you didn't get burned. We'll probably catch up with Graham Motion tomorrow. We'll do as much of the Haskell as we can tomorrow. And speaking of Dream Call, and here's Steve Asmussen, and I suppose I should be congratulating you about all the wins, not a second place finish, but you had to be pretty pleased with Dream Call yesterday in the Molly Pitcher.
I'm very pleased with her, and she's a filly that's come on with age. You see, the year she's put together, we're very proud of her, and she came home very nicely yesterday.
Big time. Luis Saez booting her home, and if that wire is another 16th of a mile, she's a winner going away. What do you do next with her? Does that encourage you to keep stretching her out?
Well, it does. I'd like to give her a shot at a mile and an eighth. She has earned her way out of the Midwest and being a second and a very solid. We'll give her 5 to 6 weeks off of it and try to find the right spot for her. But an opportunity going a mile and an eighth or something of that nature is what we're looking for next.
Well, I love it, and certainly loved the performance of Tenfold Saturday, Steve. He gave every indication coming out of the Preakness that he's going to be, a horse with added maturity and experience, a serious player. And there was a little bit of a hijinks in the stretch, but I think he pretty much ran the race you were hoping for.
Very much so. He's always been so talented. He's such a big frame, long-legged, deep-girded horse that just with there's no telling how good he's going to get with time and when he fills out to that frame. But, cleanly was in the race. He's just got such a high rhythm that can be so effective, you know, this time of year, and especially when you move into the four-year-old races and there's not so much false pace in them. When you can make your own race, this horse has a chance to be very special.
When you talk about the physical portion and, horses grow at different rates and they'll tell you when they're growing, when their legs are lengthening. Explain to people, Steve, how you and Scott and your staff, when it comes to horses that are in the process of physically changing, what you look for and how you handle it.
I think that, it starts with David Fitt, Lambert, Winchell program, and all the data they have on these. Pulls out of a mare that they raised and we ran. So I just feel that it's just a tremendous head start. Everybody's, familiar with the circumstances, and they go down to my dad's place, and it's just really very proud of how the whole program is working right now, and feel that Tenfold's another example of it. But it's easy to wait on horses that are this good. And, Ron has the patience, and I'm glad to see him this horse.
Well, now, grade one placed, of course, from the Preakness, a classic placed, and grade two winner in the Jim Dandy. I heard what Ricardo talked about regarding him, kind of wandering in deep stretch, that he thought he saw the infield tote, the screen, and it kind of startled him. Is that, are you comfortable with that explanation?
Well, I've obviously discussed it a lot since, because we feel like he's a horse with a ability to level that gives us a chance in the Travers, and knowing that we won't be able to make those sort of mistakes and have success in the Travers. I think that watching the head on the replays, it's more likely that he caught view of where the photographer's stand is on the infield at Saratoga than the screen. Kind of anxious to see how he goes over the track when we go back. Of course, if something startles them, they usually are looking for it the next time they're there. And we will be paying very close attention to what possibly caused it or what he's looking for.
Steve, you bring that up, and I just looked at the PPs, and he had only had recorded workouts at the Oklahoma. Do you now maybe bring him over to the main track more often?
Well, I'll have more confidence so with them running on the main track. So, has stabling there from a long, for a considerable amount more time, and the main track is not opened until later. So, but with them running, we will definitely take him over to the main track more often.
Well, a terrific win, and Tenfold moves toward the Travers. How about a thought about Reride's effort?
The World Traveler Reride. Not a lot of horses that run at Delta, Sunland Park, and May Dan. He's a nice, solid, versatile horse that has been, I think he'll continue to be a nice check getter. I actually feel that he's actually better on the turf, but had been considering running him in the Hall of Fame at Saratoga on this coming Friday. But Combatant, also owned by the Winchells, as well as Mr. Horton, has worked exceptionally well on the turf. And with Combatant going to the Hall of Fame, Rerides got moved.
Well, we'll see where things shake out for him. How about Zing Zang's effort on Friday in the curling? Where do you go from here?
That'll be Zing Zang's pretty interesting horse. I've not gotten his best. He cools out like he has to run almost every time, and just need to get more effort from him.
Well, a couple of other topics, Steve. You're off to a tremendous start overall, and Ricardo Santana Jr., a big part of that. He has been a eye-opening for everybody that only sees him on occasion. Obviously, if they watch at Oak Lawn and they watch the Midwest, he is stepping forward in a big way. He's being bringing home all the maidens, the young horses that you're sending out. Talk a little bit about Ricardo's success and your strong hand of two-year-olds so far.
Well, using Ricardo, you're not taking a back seat on talent. I mean, if anybody's seen him, Ryan, he's just physically gifted, physically capable, and there's no substitute for talent. And then the advantage with Ricardo is his comfort level with the babies, all the work that he's put in with them, and I think it shows in the afternoon. He's showing up to get it done, and I think the results speak for themselves.
Very much, and he's aggressive, and it feels like he's even harnessed the aggression and has gotten more selective. Frankly, Steve, when he comes into New York, he shakes up everybody because he's not in any mindset, about taking a hold and coming with a run and moderating changing a horse's style. If he's got a horse that he can be aggressive with, you can count on him being aggressive.
I think that's what it takes at Saratoga. I mean, it's where the best meet the best, and you don't show up to get out of the way. I mean, we're there to see if we're good enough. I think that's what I love about Saratoga. I mean, if they're there, they like them.
Exactly.
Nobody shows up to get beat.
Well, at all levels, whether it's the stakes and whether it's the maidens and even the lower level, I saw that you and Clark claimed one yesterday, the winner out of the first, I think. So at all levels, you guys love being here, and you love the competition and the atmosphere. Give us a feel, Steve, for some of these two-year-olds. And I thought that absolutely Aiden was spectacular on Saturday.
Well, we're blessed with opportunity. I think that, the program that the Winchell Thoroughbreds, as well as his partners, have put together and just churning out some unbelievably talented two-year-olds. Obviously, I cannot say enough about the job my dad does with them early and the success that we've had with those horses. And then you... fortunate enough to add a few two-year-old sale perches into the mix that have got ability. It's a very good spot to be in, and we realize how fortunate we are. There's no substitute for talent, and doing our best to take care of them.
I saw yesterday, I'm going to go out of town on you a second. Looks like that Tobacco Road might be a nice steady developing colt. Lucas Baden at Ellis yesterday.
He is. For the you know, the Levinsons and Mike and Lee Levinson, as well as Don Nelson. We're hoping for a little more looking at Lee Magic. First time out at Churchill, win a maiden special weight at Ellis. That's the exact same start looking at Lee had. The horse that they picked up off at Keeneland September off the RNA sheet that went down to my dad's as well, that does everything right. And with a little more added ground like he got yesterday, it looks like he's going to be a nice horse. Very fortunate.
That I know, the horse that he beat, Steve, that Mr. Ankeny, Dale Romans thinks a lot of that colt.
No, it was a good race. It really was. And the thing I liked about, you know, Tobacco Road was he was off the bridle at the half mile pole and just kept coming. And there's no substitute for being able to stay.
Yeah, people should write him down. He's a quality road, and that's one of those Ellis Park maiden winners that's going to fit in well when the deck gets shuffled in the fall. Steve, also, let me get you an update on Switzerland. He didn't break well and was sort of behind the eight ball right away.
Yes. Race definitely didn't unfold how we would have liked for him, nor did the draw, but he did come out of it in good shape. So hopefully we can regroup and find another winning spot for him somewhere down the road.
Nice. And a couple of other placements this week. Midnight Bizou, of course, game trying to chase Monomoy Girl home in the Oaks. And should also mention Vertical Oaks. Vertical Oak ran a nice race up against Finley's Lucky Charm.
Kind of the same thing for Vertical Oak. I don't know what it is about breaking from the one hole at Saratoga, but it just it does not seem to work out, you know, for whatever reason. And she ran her typical gritty race, and just great run by Finley's Lucky Charm. And Vertical Oak, you know, she's an overachiever, probably. She is probably my favorite $20,000 yearling purchase of all time.
That's great. I love that. Well, thoughts on Midnight Bisou and with all the different opportunities, what you want to do next?
She came out of this coaching club in great shape. We're, you know, the Alabama on the 18th is a very strong possibility. You know, she's a very special 3-year-old filly, and by the end of the year, I hope she turns the tables on them, and I expect her to do so.
Well, and we've seen that. It's not unusual as they keep, you know, knocking heads, and of course the older fillies and mares going to meet up at Churchill, and the fillies and mares have been really emergent. Last horse to bring up, Steve, she's a Julie, one of those mid-season emergent fillies, and it feels like there's no way to know how high the upside is.
So true.
Thoughts on her? Been a couple of weeks since the win.
I'm sorry?
Thoughts on She's a Julie, where she's going to do next.
I did move her to Saratoga. She will be nominated to the Alabama as well. There has been a change in her ownership since the Iowa Oaks. Mr. Castile is still involved in it, but I believe he's taken on some partners with her. And then once that's finalized, we will circle a date for her and name her at it. But she's obviously an emerging 3-year-old filly that has a great future ahead of her.
Well, there you go. There's a little bit of news. And Steve, as always, so many good horses to talk about. Things going well at all venues, Ellis and Saratoga and down through the Southeast as well. I appreciate the visit and expect we'll talk more as the summer rolls on.
I hope after wins only, okay?
All right. I'll save it. Well, of course, with the wins comes those second place finish questions, too. So.
Yeah, there you go. That's okay. We can sprinkle them in there. That's all.
There you go. Steve Asmussen, everybody, and so many nice horses that have really stepped forward through the middle part of the year. And then there's the two-year-old program, which really feels like it's hitting on all cylinders. There was that Lyrical Lady at the beginning of the meet. He's actually had a couple of state breads. And I didn't want to ask him about that. I wasn't going to ask him about the DQ from the other day. I can imagine how that one went over. Couldn't have gone over well, but they got somebody. In fact, somebody even wrote to me about that. Somebody said a little karma, or you know, a little pendulum swing back Saturday with three wins. Steve Asmussen, there's another 15 horses they could ask about. Mia Mischief, for instance, coming out of that victory ride. I suppose she'll run in the test. I'm sure she'll come back in the test, having won the Eight Bells. But even that, you know, even that division, even the three-year-old filly sprinters, never mind the route goers, which we know, but even the sprinters are kind of burgeoning. Really kind of a little bit of a different narrative this year to have these three-year-olds stepping forward at both distances. And of course the turf equation was pretty well established, you know, that part, but the main track. So you got that little tidbit of news there with She's a Julie. So we'll let me write that down and follow that up. You can maybe imagine or guess if there was a if there was an ownership purchase of an informed stake winner. Let's take a break. Top of hour three, and lots to do yet. Phil D'Amato going to join us. Chuck Lawrence yet, but next, Mike Beer, and we're going to do some handicapping. Let's look at the Monday card. You might be on your way to the track. Scratches are up. They came out about a half hour ago, and the very modest on the change front. So we'll do that with Beer. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend, and we'll handicap the pick six sequence that starts in race five with a maiden 50 where I think you are hoping you can lean on Joe Sharp. Back to his roots. Back to his roots, the 5. 5-2, and if maybe the board will give us some additional clues, but, you know, because you got half a dozen or more first-time starters. But it feels like the race goes through back to his roots. I told you that Coronation Cup is deep and competitive. There's a mile and 3/8 on the inner going as the 9th. That's a terrifically competitive race. You got 8 to consider, and it feels like 6 can win. There were a couple scratches in there which kind of helped a little bit. One of the two makers came out, Bronson. Solio stays and has got a big shot. All right, Mike Beer next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearling started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.